Okay. This essay is called Reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Through the Karbanos. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says that the word Korban and Korbanot is mistranslated as offerings or sacrifice. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says a Korban is not really a sacrifice, because he says it doesn't really entail forfeiting anything. The word offering implies that the recipient is lacking what we've given through the offering, which is inappropriate because we can never give a Kadosh Baruch Hu anything. Ownership is not a concept, right, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So rather, the word karbon is derived from the word karov, to come close, to draw near to the Rabbonus Shalom. The karbon is a vehicle for coming closer to Hashem. And he said, we look at the terminology, we have hakrava. We bring near. Now, technically, the Gemara teaches us and the Mishnah teaches us that Hakrova was the Kohen brought the sacrifice to a horn of the Mizbeach, but Rav Shaul Hirsch says it really, or it also means coming close. He says maybe that's why throughout the description of Korbanos, the name of Hashem that's used is Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Rachamim, mercy, and not Elohim, the God of judgment. Judgments would be a statement that you sinned against me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you need to do something to make up for it, judgment. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei says, Hoya Hoyveviye, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, was, and always will be. And it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, your korban has nothing to do with me. You can't affect, you know, you cannot affect the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's nature. But it can bring you closer, and then it can allow you to reconnect and have greater, you would say, I guess, excitement, enthusiasm in serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When one does an Aveira, as we all do, it sets up a distance, a stop sign, a roadblock between our neshama and Hashem. The korban allows us to plow through the stop sign and come back. He says, in today's day and age, we know that our davening is in place of the karbonos, the avoda, and our task is to make our davening the tool to get closer to the Rabbonus Shel Olam. Rav Shlomo Zevin also talks about this karov, closeness. He explains that distance and proximity are not merely concepts in space, two points apart from each other. He says two individuals can stand very, very close to one another, but can be oceans apart in thought and emotion. Because distance, closeness, is determined what he calls internal spiritual connections. If two neshamas are connected, as we say it should be with a marriage. They are close, right? And if, God forbid, they're disconnected, it doesn't matter that they're eating at the same kitchen table or lying next together in bed. They're far, far apart. He says, this is the sense that we're talking about close or distant from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipresent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never spatially or emotionally far away from us. We can close our eyes. We can do things, pretend that he's not here, but that he's not, right? And we can be affected. Am Yisrael and Tehillim are called the people HaKadosh Baruch Hu was close to. The Medrash says that when the Torah is close to us, Hashem is close to us. And he says, obviously, this is a spiritual connection. He quotes Rav Soloveitchik saying that a mother sends her children to school. When the children are home, mom is, right, always aware of what's going on. And even when they're in school or in camp or they're in their gap year in Eretz Yisroel, she's still close and aware. But there's some sort of, you would say, physical separation. But the bond, the true connection, is very much strong. Because closeness in reality is not a matter of physical presence one-to-one. He says we've got to use this metaphor in relating to what closeness to Hashem is, and that's what it means, the people that are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Zevin, he said, then develops another interesting concept. The Karbonos connect and elevate, he says, all four levels of existence. There's domain inanimate objects, somaya plants, chai animals, and medaber the human being. It brings all of them closer to Hashem. Human beings are obviously elevated through karbonos, because one who brings a korban properly is mindful of the messages and the need for any atonement they may seek. The animal's ultimate destiny is by serving as karbonos. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. From the plant world, we get the mincha, the meal offerings. We get the nesachim, the wine poured on the mizbeach. We get the water that we pour on Sukkot. We get the loaves of bread, lechem hapanim and the shnei halechem. And we get the oils, which are also used in avodas Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash. Every korban also has salt, right? We're told the mitzvah is that on every korban you put salt. Salt is a mineral. And that, he says, is representative of the world of inanimate objects. A korban thus takes all elements of the world under the direction of a human being and takes the entire existence and says, I give it to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I representatively recognize it's all yours, and through that recognition, I want to become a better Eved Hashem. Rabbi Rosner points out, as we spoke yesterday, the little Aleph, right? In the first word, Vayikra, the Balak Turim said, Moshe in his great humility didn't want to show that he was anything special, right? And so he tried to change it to Vayakar, saying, I'm no different than Bilam. When the Kaddish Baruch said no, and they came up, as they say, with the compromise. He says, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has another lesson which is related to Anivus, humility, from the same Aleph. He said, when you are the first of the letters of the alphabet, it's the Aleph Beis, right? So it's Aleph the head, the leader, and the word Aleph corresponds to the Hebrew word Aluf, which in the Chumash, and as he says, even in modern Hebrew, is a chief, a general. And he says, and in Sefer Bereishit, Alufay Edai, that refers to Esav's leaders of families as being this. He says, a small Aleph is a contradiction in terms. On the one hand, the Aleph shows leadership, greatness, right? And yet, here the Torah minimizes it. If the Torah wishes to allude to Moshe's humility, why does it make the Aleph small? Why not make the Mem in Moshe small? That's, you know, that seems to be the question. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says no. Specifically because of the symbolism of leadership, that's why the Aleph is small. It's in instances where you have individuals, the most talented, who we consider the best, the most accomplished, the ones we want to lead, if that person can make themselves small, that is the greatness, okay, of the individual. It's too easy in situations of leadership to become arrogant, right, and listen to nobody. He says the great leader recognizes and utilizes talents that he said, I did nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. I didn't make myself capable of drawing a Mona Lisa. I didn't make myself capable of being able to be the architect of the Mishkan. I didn't do that. That all was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The small Aleph says, it's where you have greatness. People that are exceedingly great, that they, if they're really great, they can have this as a great recognition, and therefore they instinctively act smaller. They're not concerned personally about any glory whatever. They may stand up for the office. In other words, a Melech Yisrael can't be moichel on his covet. But the last thing David and Shlomo cared about was personal honor. You had to honor the Malchus because the Malchus represented a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, a person's greatness and humility should not be distinct from one another. You cannot be humble, he says, in all areas and say, in one area, I'll be a Bodhisattva. Some people are generally modest when it comes to their field of expertise. Others, he says, they're modest, but when you ask them about their knowledge of nuclear physics or whatever, instead of coming at it slowly, they blow you away so you have no idea what the heck they're talking about. The Torah is teaching us that the anivus, the personal humility, has to exist in the same area as the greatness is manifested itself. Moshe could show his great anivus in leading all Yisroel. Like the small olive, the potential for greatness that God gave us has to be held in proper perspective. And when that's done, it is clearly an action in being humble. It says, Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber elov Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe, and he spoke to him. Is there something missing? It begins with a pronoun. Because it says, Vayikra, he called. I said Hashem called, but it's technically he called. And it's only in the second half that it says, Hashem called to Moshe. Not only that, but this is an introductory statement with a period at the end, and it doesn't tell us what the message is. After this call, Hashem gave Moshe a message. But why do we have to know that he was called? He quotes from Moshe Sternbuch in a sefer that he wrote, Tom the Dot. He says it's 1983. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe, Moshe felt a wave of spirituality and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe immediately became ready to hear and try to internalize to the nth extent being close to Hashem, right? And to try to carry out every fine detail of the command. The initial uplifting experience, it says, was preceded any message that was to follow. And he says that's the main difference. We say that Hashem spoke to no one like Moshe. That's the specificity. Vayikra was the unique spiritual precursor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to Moshe. This spiritual manifestation, which obviously we can talk about but can't really conceive of, was present. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the world, here, I'm telling you black on white. It was different. He says, what's the take-home message to us? He says, we all have moments when we're going to feel spiritually uplifted. I always remember the time I heard the shofar being blown on Harabayas in 1967. I didn't think I could ever feel anything more eerie in my life. It can happen. Sometimes learning, you get an insight that says, wow, that blows me away. It can happen sometimes in davening. Something really connects to us, to how where we are that day. Sometimes we can hear a haunting niggun and we really feel it penetrates to our neshama. And sometimes we may be zoiche to watch the actions of one of the gedolei hador and see how special they truly are. He says, we never know how, in fact, this is going to happen. We don't prepare for it. It's something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu puts into our being. And it's, he says, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving us input that we could internalize and hopefully carry it with us throughout our lives. He says, a related concept is expressed in Haksava HaKabbalah on Mishpatim, which says, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot are called Regolim. On these Yom Tovim, all Jews, right, were required to go up to the base of Migdash in Yerushalayim. They were to enter a state of heightened spirituality. They all saw open miracles in their own eyes. If they saw 80-mile wind, the pillar of or the smoke didn't waver. If there was rain, the Mizbeach didn't have any less fire. If they looked, we read last week about Habriya Chatikain. In the Mishkan, there was this long staff that connected four walls. So when you put it in, it went at right angles three times. We've never seen that in our lives, but it was one complete staff. Everybody was crowded in the Mishkan. But if it came time to say vidui, there was more space than anywhere in the world. Where you were next to shoulder one to another, you now had four amos. How? Many, many sacrifices were burnt. We know what a sheft house smells like. It was nothing other than pure, clean, well-smelling air in the base of Migdash. The lechem haponim, the showbreads, remained as hot as they were coming out of the oven 7 days later on Shabbos. And the golem was, again, the same notion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I need you to come up to Yerushalayim on a regular basis. You've got to have the exposure to these miracles. Huh? Regel can mean hergel, which is to repeat, to become used to. He says, spirituality, unless it's repeated, unless it's done over and over, doesn't last. Alas, we saw what happened, right, at the time of the ego. We've seen it other times, right? We've seen Nisim in our own days. How long does the inspiration last, right? And that's our human condition. I don't think we have to blame ourselves. That's our makeup. But because it's our makeup, it doesn't mean that we have a quiet moment, right? We can't sit back and think and ponder about those times when we were spiritually moved and try to feel a little bit of that again. It's, right? It's the, right? We say that one of the most important pasuk in the Torah is the Korban Tamid, reading about it, because it happened twice a day, every day. And that's what is required. We've got to be continually active in serving the Rabboni Shalom. Okay. Cam having a problem here with my phone. That's how it else is new. No.